Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. It runs March 3rd to 23rd in communities across Canada. La Fondation canadienne pour le dialogue des cultures, in partnership with the National Campus and Community Radio Association, through the Community Radio Fund of Canada and this station, present the RBF series, January through March of 2016. For more information, check out www.ncra.ca/RBF.
Hello, bonjour, welcome, salut la visite, come on in. You're tuned in to a presentation of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, a global initiative to recognize Francophone cultures around the world. The rendezvous are happening everywhere, and I suggest once you're done here learning about Franco-Manitobans, you check out Rendez-vous de la Francophonie website to pick up your next Franco-Manitoban adventure, or just a Franco adventure. For CKUW 95.9 in Winnipeg, I'm Barney Morin, and my job is to take you into the world of Franco-Manitobans. They're a vast people spread out all over in little hubs of southern Manitoba and right in the heart of Winnipeg, St. Boniface. Don't worry, you don't have to drive all around the map just yet. I took care of that for you. Coming up over the next half hour is a guided tour and a part exploration with me to find out why Manitoba is a bilingual province and to check in to see how things have come along. This song is a cover, Minor Swing, from the Jeanne d'Arc Sessions, hosted by Sam Little and Pierre Frenette. They're jamming with multi-instrumentalist Jeremy Russo. This song was captured in 2015, but for our purposes, we need to go back a little further than that. We need some backstory, and I couldn't think of any better place to find answers than Gabriel Gosselin. He's a former reporter for Radio-Canada. For a long time now, he's been very active in the French arts, and he's also in charge of communications for the French school division. We start off with a little historical context before we can get into the fun stuff later on.
The French fact was at the very beginning of public institutions in the West, starting with Manitoba. And it all started in 1818 with the arrival of the Catholic Church under the Bishop, Monseigneur Provenchy. It was a massive mission, you know, that eventually became St. Boniface, the patron saint of missionaries. So I know I'm going really far back. But it's only a question of timing, right? You know, these are the fur traders, the bourgeoisie of... let's not forget also that trade happened a lot in French at the time, too. So even the people that were running these companies spoke French, wrote in French. So it was a very common language, and the institutions sort of rose up from the Catholic Church and the largest community there, which was Métis and French, Canadian, but mostly Métis. The West was conquered so quickly as soon as the province was created as a bilingual state.
Which is different than every... Is it different than every other province?
It was sort of essentially founded like Quebec and New Brunswick as a constitutionally bilingual system. So you're talking about your legislature, laws need to be written in French, your school system, and your judiciary. So you can get a trial in French in 1870. Okay. But that's reversed 20 years later because now you're looking at 15-20% of the population that are French and Métis, just from sheer numbers of immigration. There's a lot of Catholics. There's a huge anti-Métis sentiment because now you have what is being preached from the pulpit too. This wave of, you know, Canadian entitlement. A lot of people are coming from Ontario. Religious tension. The fact that these Métis are viewed as, you know, the fact that they're French and Catholic and savages in the view of the new arrivers. Well, that just fuels their righteous indignation. So that's why we had such very specific laws, as in 1890, where we eradicate French from the system. But it was also a means of controlling the new wave of Mennonite immigration who spoke Low German. And, you know, of
the
course,
90s, they eradicated?
1890s, yeah. That's when they essentially made an unconstitutional law, which would be reversed 90 years later. But this does not stop the Francophone community from growing, thriving, and being still ingrained in public institutions. There's a reason why, you know, a lot of the Franco-Manitobans you know are in public service. My parents were that way. My dad, when he retired, he spoke about how important it was to him. We're talking about a cultural identity that is completely ingrained and rooted in the institutions and the culture of a region. And so that explains why we have this incredible dynamic. Yet somehow we've managed to stay small town, you know. So that comes with all the disadvantages, the nepotism and the...
Well, talk to people about that who have never been here before, people from...
Well, there's already a Canadian stereotype, yeah. Right? You know, my friend Jim in Toronto, right? Yeah. Well, I mean, come on, with Franco-Manitobans, and much like all the other little micro cultures within Manitoba, you know, we know them from the towns that surround our communities, Ukrainian, Mennonite... And they have some similarities and some differences, and there's tensions sometimes.
And, mostly hockey related.
Mostly hockey related, yeah. Sport related, volleyball. But I mean, it's based on cultural differences, but you know, they eventually intermarry and they become one and the same, such as society.
Term you used earlier, is that acceptable?
Oh, I think it's adorable.
Yeah.
So because the Mennonite towns are around the French towns, a lot of them intermarry. So when we call a half native and half French person a Michif, then a half Menno and half French would be a Minochif.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I really like that term.
I love that term. That was a new term to me. Yeah.
It's coined by one of my friends who's a Minochif. Okay. His mom is a Mennonite from Steinbach and his dad's a Frenchman from Le Brocquerie.
Classic. A Frenchman from Le Brocquerie marrying someone from the neighboring city of Steinbach. Cultures have always mixed here and there, but in the beginning, Manitoba was established as a bilingual province. It took until the mid-80s before the Franco-Manitoban Society to regain their right to have laws available in both official languages. Gabs explains that while it may have took some time for the government to see eye to eye with Francophones, the French still maintained public influence through church and schools.
The Francophone community was still very much involved in public education through the public system as well as through the public private Catholic system, which is all but eradicated now, not like Ontario and Quebec, where, of course, the church's roots are much deeper. Ours is much more involved, I would say, in public health care. They still own a lot of the Grey Nuns of St. Boniface, actually, another very important Franco-Manitoban institution that played a huge role and still does in the public institutions of Manitoba, not just Franco.
You'll have to explain that. So does that mean for everyone else?
That means that the Grey Nuns own, on the books, they own the St. Boniface General Hospital, Victoria Hospital, Misericordia right over here. They own all these buildings, and it actually takes a huge load off of the state in the sense that we all know that churches aren't taxed. Now, if the church owns still the building while the WRHA keeps adding on to them and paying a yearly, symbolic yearly fee of $1, then the belongings get exempt from many taxes. Which is very clever. So they're this massive landlord because they founded all of the first hospitals. Now this is the order that came right beside the cathedral in St. Boniface now, the old St. Boniface Museum. They came very early and built that amazing building and then founded all of all of Winnipeg's public institutions, especially in healthcare, because that's what they were. They're carers of the poor, the Grey Nun Order. Sainte Marguerite Duville from Montreal is the Holy Mother. So they have their own history that's very interesting, but they played a tremendous role, just as all the other big public institutions of Winnipeg did in educating and providing healthcare. And to this day, they're billionaire landlords that own many buildings. So their influence is huge. Our history is completely steeped in, and now we have this 21-year-old school division, which I work for, which I went to school in. It started when I was in junior high, and I was a terrible student. I've definitely felt as an individual that the school system let me down, but school system has changed a lot. This, even though the Franco-Manitobans have been involved in education for all of their history, and in public institutions in Manitoba for all of their history, now they have their own division that is run by lay people and is not run by the church. With elected officials and many, many skilled professionals, and it's become the Franco-Manitoban institution because they hire so many people. We're talking about 1,000 French jobs in the province.
Talk about the importance of those, like maybe those small towns. What do you think the influence of those small towns play into Winnipeg?
One advantage that we have over other Western Francophone communities is sort of this hub-like infrastructure, right? So you have St. B, that's sort of always been the center, because that's where the diocese was, that's the economic center, and then you have all these French towns that have their own little identities as well. It's really something else. You know, when we explain it to people from Quebec, for instance, they'll always ask, like, oh, it's, you know, they figure that we have one accent, but no, every town has their accent. And it's really remarkable, just like the rest of French Canada, essentially. So the accent there in Lourdes is particularly strong from northern France. Moi, je vais sortir avec ma mère et mon père, puis on va patiner dur. And then when you go more to like Saint-Claude, it'll be slighter. It'll be like moi, puis toi, je ferai pas ça.
There's a lot of those little small towns, and I wanted to explore a couple of them with you. And in order to get a scope on what French life was like in the Francophone communities, I went about half an hour south of Winnipeg to Saint-Jean-Baptiste and spoke with an active community member for over 50 years in both the town's school and social life. Paulette Vermette will give us an insight into her town's evolution in language through her experiences. Her story might be relatable to people who've grown up in southeastern Manitoba or have had relatives in these parts. Oh, and by the way, we're related. So here's a little backstory so that you can feel like your Matount is telling you these stories. Despite being in the mostly English community of Arnaud, Manitoba, my great-aunt Paulette Vermette and the rest of her siblings grew up French Catholic and would attend church in the nearby French community of Saint-Malo. My aunt attended high school in the convent in Saint-Jean-Baptiste, about half an hour drive from Saint-Malo. After she graduated, she found love in Saint-Jean, and she would then be married and have three kids and work as a teacher in various jobs in the school and education system until her retirement. She's been very involved over the years in local cultural events, even to this day helping run the local senior social club. Here's a part of our conversation about French culture in Saint-Jean.
You grew up mostly French your whole life,
yeah.
and with a little bit of English.
Uh-huh.
But it's easy for you to have English in your life, but you, like, I guess over the years that you've had to adapt more in English.
Yes.
I mean, the whole irony of this interview is we're talking about French and English.
Yeah.
So when did you start seeing a big change, do you think? Was there...
I'd say these last 10 years, you see, we still have to struggle to see a French in our town.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what was it like before, though?
Before, like, you know, we'd have French signs and, you know, as evenings, we'd have, like, Bière de Saint-Net would be in French.
Yeah.
Now it would be in English.
Okay,
yeah.
So Bière de Saint-Net, if you don't know what that is, that's a beer and skit night, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think in Saint-Jean, I know you're not a statistician about Saint-Jean, mm-hmm. but would you say the population of French people is still the same amount of people?
No.
But, is the population...
We're declining.
The numbers aren't the only evidence of disappearance of French in Saint-Jean-Baptiste. When visitors arrive to Saint-Jean, they're greeted with a large sign that claims Soup Bee, capital of the world. Pea soup is a classic Francophone staple, but due to a recent buyout of one of the town's biggest soup pea producers, they may need to adopt a new slogan. I had to ask my aunt about this change of identity.
Is the identity changing? Maybe there needs to be something new? Like, is it new traditions need to start? Or what needs to happen, do you think?
Well, I think we don't have to start new tradition. We have to maintain what we have, but it's a battle, and we've done it all most of our lives, so we're kind of like when I see let's say just the minutes in English, Well, before I would write and I would say, or phone and say, oh, as the French minutes, are they coming up soon? Or, you know,
yeah.
But now I don't even bother.
When a Francophone community has an event, other Francophone towns hear about it through the grapevine. Especially when towns keep up traditions and elders learn they can bring their little ones to events. Like my aunt alluded to, there are many traditions present in her community, but the regeneration of support isn't there like it is in other Franco-Manitoban towns.
When I hear La Braquerie, I think they're a strong French community. Saint-Pierre, I would identify a bit like us because it's, you know, there's a lot of English-speaking people, but there's still a lot of French activities.
Towns that have these French activities are often towns that have at least one school belonging to the DSFM, the French School Division. Their schools are predominantly in southern Manitoba. To name a few towns like Saint-Agathe, Saint-Adolphe, towards the Saskatchewan border, you have École Jour de Plaine in Shiloh, École Saint-Lazare right on the border of Saskatchewan. Something great I even learned myself is there's a DSFM school in Thompson, one of Manitoba's most northern communities. These rural communities also host huge yearly events where Francophones and non-Francophones can equally gather and share in the unique culture. Like Saint-Jean-Baptiste Days in La Braquerie, Louis-Riel Day in Saint-Lazare, Festival des Amis in Saint-Malo, the Saint-Laube 200, Manipogo in Saint-Laurent, and my personal favorite is the Sugaring Off Festival and Frog Follies in Saint-Pierre-Joli. These events give the opportunity to people who are learning French or are curious about the culture to get a first-hand cultural look at their practices in a fun setting, usually for all kinds of families. Even with the impression the DSFM leaves on French culture, my aunt points out the importance of immersion schools and the role they play in supporting Franco-Manitoban culture.
I find that immersion was a godsend too, because it brought French to more people, like it broadened. So if you just have a little handful of Francophones, can get a, you know, would you do a Festival du Voyageur for 50 people?
No.
You'll do it for 1,000. Yeah. Well, immersion, that was a godsend, I found. Like, it brought French to a wider population.
And you know what? Mr. Gabs Gosselin from earlier is seeing the same thing.
And one thing that we're seeing, too, statistically, that was interesting about this the last couple of years, is that the immersion system, its explosion, first of all, the demand has never been higher. The phenomenon now is that kids that have graduated from immersion, their kids are now going. So you have a general Canadian culture that is becoming increasingly familiar with the language, with the cultural practices. And so, yeah, I mean, this is sort of the vision, right? When we as a societal project decide that, hey, maybe our kids should learn more languages, then this is going to be the result. So I would say, statistically, expect a French Renaissance. I mean, I feel wrong saying that in English, actually. Expect une Renaissance francophone.
What would a Renaissance francophone look like? The Franco-Manitobans, are they creating? I dug around for some movers and shakers of Winnipeg's French Quarter, Saint-Boniface, to discover what's going on in the French art scene. But first, a little pick-me-up to spring us into the second half of the exploration. Let me play you a song from the Chetain Lacroix Band. This next song is a solo piece, but he leads a group of three other very busy musicians. Lacroix writes and sings in both official languages and just released an album titled Tout dans ta tête. Here's a track to get your boots tapping. It's called Butt the Cowboy, and you're listening to a segment of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie from 95.9 CKUW in Winnipeg. Mon nom est Barney Morin, and I hope you like this song.
La nuit se pose comme un gros corbeau sur mes épaules. Plus rien voir, je veux plus rien savoir. Ou mieux que sors pas de chez moi. En enfilant mes boulets, sans l'esprit qui me relaie. En enfilant mes boulets, je mets à taper l'orteil. Et je suis peint dans mes bottes de cowboy. One step, two step, three step. Accroche-toi à ma ceinture, babe, pour bien faire la chose.
The exploration of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie continues, and this time we're heading to Saint Boniface to check out the art scene. First, we're going to check out where the French tradition of bière and sainette we heard of earlier is getting a revival. Then we'll explore what it's like to be a francophone musician with vocal loop pedalist Rihanna. And before we say merci, thank you, salut la visite, we want to show you a few Franco-Manitobain-isms that you can take to the bank or la caisse. Same thing. La LIM, Ligue d'improvisation du Manitoba. They've been in Winnipeg for 26 years, but this may be the first time you're hearing of it. In a nutshell, La LIM is two teams, knee-high boards painted like a hockey rink to use as a stage area, a series of short and long-form improv games that have winners determined by the audience, all done in French. Oh, and booing the ref is a part of the tradition. Don't worry, he's in on it. Tradition and familiarity seem to be a big part of this game's core values. They even have an anthem that includes one line repeated, La LIM est impro de chez nous, meaning La LIM is improv from our place. And based on my experience as an audience member, they really own that. I thought La LIM would be somewhere where we could explore on the younger side of things in the Franco-Manitoban world. Here's the MC Nicolas Audet, who grew up in Saint-Pierre and then La Braquerie before moving to Winnipeg and joining the community there. I needed an explanation of how this league really worked.
Yeah, you almost feel like you're at a, it almost feel like you're at a Habs game because it's so French and it's so hockey.
It's like it's very unique to the French community in Manitoba. There's some people that speak French or that people from Quebec or from out of the country that'll come and they'll go to the improv. And some people will really like it, and some people just don't get it because it's so Manitoban and it's so Franco-Manitoban. It's really a way for us Franco-Manitobans to truly express ourselves in like the most natural form. So this is like another way that people can truly live French. So it's not just French at school, learning French, writing an essay, but it's actually just having fun and being yourself and joking around in French. People don't really care if there's some English here and there. If you throw in a couple English words, we call it Franglish,
yeah,
or Franglais, half French, half English. But it's just about being yourself and having fun and joking around. And it's become this really tight-knit group of people. I'd say like most of the improvisers and the fans, the crowd, are between the ages of 16 and 30. And it's a really tight-knit group of friends of these 40 or 50 people that see each other every week for half of the year.
So here it is. The ref sets the rules and off they go. Here's comédien Marie-Ève Laflèche.
Je lui ai demandé de faire du country pour l'équipe des Verts 2 minutes 30. En jeu.
C'est Noël. Il n'y a personne qui m'aime. C'est Noël, je te sale. Mais mon chien m'aime plus. Et j'ai ta journée. Puis je l'amène à manger. Puis là, il saute. C'est Noël, je te sale. Puis mon chien est parti. Et même plus. Jusqu'à mon chien. Je ne nourriture pis pauvre. C'est autres à maudit. J'essaye de tout mon mieux, mais c'est Noël. Je sors. J'ai pas de chance du tout.
We have our own contribution in Gabriel Leroy, Daniel Lavoie. But, I mean, even think of the microcosm of our own community. How many Francophones do you know that are involved in cutting-edge stuff in your own community?
Rihanna is a groundbreaking bilingual loop pedal artist. She's bringing her French roots with her into the digital age, using mostly her voice for sounds. While the song Delphine and Marie Lou builds, let's hear a little bit more about her.
The way it really started was with no language at all. It was because I was just playing around with sounds and I would create a groove and then it would make me think of a theme, or it would make me think of a vibe, and that vibe was unmistakably either English or French. It's rarely, there was always kind of a personality to it.
Cool.
And I don't want to say challenges, but things to consider when you're a bilingual artist. And one of those things is that you often don't fit in the box that is laid out for you. So in terms of marketing and in terms of just structuring your career, like where are you going next and what are you doing next, you know, producing enough material in French and in English to kind of nurture both. Marie-Lou et vos tripes en caoutchouc, encore signe, hâte de faire ses preuves naïves, prête à tout. L'entrepreneur s'arrête tout le long du fleuve, rué vers l'épreuve. Delphine, Marie-Lou, dans 15 ans, où serez-vous?
It's safe to say Franco-Manitoba culture isn't gone. It may look different than before, it may be in different areas, but thanks to strong French institutions, dedicated people, and thriving growth in the immersion and bilingual programs, there's a good chance that when you come to Manitoba and say bonjour, they'll might just say right back to you. This has been a presentation for Rendezvous de la Francophonie from CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. I'm Barney Morin, and it's been a fun exploration, and as a parting gift, I have a few last-minute fun facts you need to know if you want to impress your Francos in your life. Merci, thank you, bye-bye, là.
The first few things that come to mind is heroes, so like Louis Riel, because he fought for the, mostly for Francophone Métis people, but also Anglophone Métis, but that's one big one. Then there's food, tortière, tête de cerf.
Probably our Anglicisms, that's usually how we're defined, right?
Yeah.
Jumper mon char.
Yes.
J'ai stallé. Mon maudit char, il a stallé. Il a fallu que je le jump. J'ai demandé à quelqu'un de m'aider à le jumper.
Yeah.
So j'ai callé le tow truck. Callé le tow truck pour le jumper. Oh, there's the classic. Barodé. That's a good one.
Yeah, with me back roading. What are some spots you think they need to check out?
Ah, Fort Gibraltar. Fort Gibraltar is probably your best spot where you'll learn about the history of Manitoba. So mostly in the early 1800s where the voyageurs would do the fur trade and how it all came down and what happened.
We all use Bécosse as well, Bus de Bécosse, which means outhouse boss. Bus de Bécosse means you're too big for your britches. And Bécosse is an invented French-Canadian word. It's back house, outhouse. But that's how we would pronounce it, Bécosse, Bécosse, Bécosse.
Other sites to see would be CCFM, Centre culturel franco-manitobain. If you want to know what's up right now, they'll have either bands, they'll have Mardi Jazz, where it's Jazz 90. Even have theaters. Yeah, if not SFM, the Franco-Manitobain Society should know everything that's going on in French in Manitoba.
Okay, give us your best franco-manitobain impersonation.
Moi et Pitoué, on va aller là-bas manger un pâte de fer.
For more information on the Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, which is an annual celebration in partnership with La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Community Radio Fund of Canada, and this station, visit www.ncra.ca/RVF.